So if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. We'll read that together, and then we're going to start talking about the gathering together of the saints to the Lord. Notice Paul said, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Again, after spending the last few weeks looking at prophecy, I thought this is the perfect capper to cap things off with the rapture of the church. And why is that? Because, guys, the rapture of the church is really going to be one of the main culminating events for us and this earth prophetically. Now, of course, we have the 1,000-year reign and the new heaven and the new earth. But once the rapture takes place, we're out of here. And the rest of prophecy that pertains to those on the earth leading up to the second coming, they're going to be going through that. Again, you want to make sure you're on the right side, you're not going through that, and that you've already received the Lord so you can be a part of the rapture. But for those of us who know the Lord, this is a very exciting portion of Scripture. I believe the rapture is not only one of the most important teachings in all of prophecy, it's one of the more important teachings in all the Bible. The Lord puts great emphasis on it. By the time we're done, you're going to see that the rapture is not just mentioned here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but we're going to see the rapture in the Old Testament. We're going to see the rapture in the New Testament. We're going to see the rapture in biblical pictures and types. And we're going to see the rapture God even put into the culture of the nation of Israel. Now, why would God so thoroughly permeate his word in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in culture, in everything? Why would God so thoroughly permeate the rapture of the church in there? For a couple of reasons. One is to make sure that none of us miss it, whether we're Jew or Gentile. But guys, the other reason is because it is that important to the Lord. This is a very important day to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I've always thought about what important day this is to me. I get to get out of here. The Lord comes back for his bride. We're with the Lord and we're out of here. And depending on what your bills are after Christmas, some of you are ready to go right now too. But the bottom line is we're going to be out of here, guys. And we're going to all of our troubles and all of our problems. That's a very exciting prospect. But you know what? Something that has really hit me just recently, because although the Lord wanted to make sure that we all got it, so he used it in all these different ways to show us, to realize what an important day this was to the Lord. And I hadn't thought about it really in that way until just this week. I've taught on the rapture for many years. And as I was studying and putting everything together and, you know, moving everything around and getting prepared for today, God began to really minister to my heart how important this day was for him. I have to admit, I've been looking at the rapture rather selfishly. For me, it was like, hey, the rapture. We get out of here. I get to be with the Lord. We win. This is great. But guys, we forget that the rapture is the day that Jesus Christ gets to gather his bride to himself. In other words, note this. The rapture is the wedding day of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. I haven't. I knew it was there, but I never pondered on that. I never meditated on that. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean the wedding day of Jesus Christ? Aren't we already married to the Lord? Well, the answer is no. We are engaged to the Lord. The Bible says we have been betrothed as his bride, the bride of Christ engaged, but we've not yet consummated the marriage. We've not yet been joined to our Lord in heaven. And there's going to be a wedding day where that joining takes place. And that's going to be none other than the day of the rapture. Now think about this. The Lord paid for us. He paid for his bride. This is really a rather grand love story we have going on between the Lord and mankind. He came and won us over on the cross. He paid for our sins. Who can save me? Save me, save me, someone save me, right? You know the old thing with the woman tied to the railroad tracks, right? And Dudley Do-Right, whoever rides up and rescues her at the last minute. Guys, we were those who were crying out to be saved by the Lord. Many of us didn't even know we needed to be saved until God opened our eyes, but we realized, you know what? I've got sin in my life, and I'm not going to go to heaven unless God pays for my sin. I need help. God sent his son. Jesus went to the cross and he died. He purchased his bride. He paid the bride price. And that's going to come in more next week when we look at the cultural wedding of the Jew. But the bottom line is he paid for us on the cross, but he hasn't gotten us yet as his bride because we're not really all with him yet. It's interesting. Somebody asked me after the first service, what do you think it means that the dead in Christ will rise first? Well, there's a couple of theories on that. Some believe that we get our bodies the moment we die, and they don't really have an explanation for what that means. But then there's another group where it's just where I stand. I believe that's when we're all going to get our bodies, our new bodies at that moment. You see, the bride of Christ is not yet complete. The bride of Christ is not yet whole. Those who died before us are with the Lord. We know that. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We see people talking with each other after they've died. Remember Luke 16. We see Lazarus there in Abraham's bosom and the rich man, and they're talking back and forth. We see the Lord talking to the saints in heaven in Revelation. So the bottom line is, we know that when we leave these bodies, we don't go to sleep and we don't stop and we don't wait. We're with the Lord right away. And we see the biblical evidence for that. But guys, why would it say the dead in Christ rise first? I believe because the Lord is waiting until all of his bride is ready. And when he gathers all of his bride together, everyone will get their new eternal body at that moment, and the Lord will have his bride in completion on his wedding day, the day of the rapture. And so again, it's a very special day for the Lord. I've thought of it rather selfishly. But do you remember what it was like when you knew you were about to get married and you knew who you were going to marry? There was a great excitement in your heart. For the women, you were finally glad to have someone to be a covering for you, a home, someone to provide. There's this yearning in the heart of a woman that God puts there to have that covering. And that's why there's that drive for that husband. But then in the man, there's the same thing. The man wants the marriage. He wants the relationship. He wants to have that person to share his life with. But there's also an excitement about the wedding day. This is my bride. And I'll tell you, brides, you look the best on wedding day. I mean, you look good all the time. But there's something that happens on that wedding day. And you know what? I think God does something. You ever heard the saying, there's no such thing as an ugly bride, right? Guys, I believe there's a reason. There's a reason that saying is there, because I believe God does something special on a wedding day. I believe God makes that bride radiate beauty, because you know what the wedding day is to the Lord? Our wedding day to the Lord is nothing but a reminder of his that's coming up. And it's like the Lord is waiting, saying, one day, my bride is going to come walking down the aisle of my palace in heaven, and I'm going to be joined. And Father, you've promised me for all eternity. This is the day I've been waiting on. There's an excitement. There's an anticipation in the heart about the bride. And this is exactly what the Lord is experiencing. The Lord is looking for his wedding day. And you know, when I think about that, I think about what it was like the wedding day. Again, we're going to get into this whole thing, what the word means there. We get into the language. We're going to be caught up and be with the Lord. Guys, it talks about someone who's anxious and excited to take their bride. Guess who his bride is? It's you. Can you believe that God is excited to gather you? Can you believe that he desires you? Now, husbands, let me ask you a question. Did you desire your wife on your wedding day? You're a liar if you say you didn't, all right? Let's just be honest about it. You desired your wife. Wife, did you desire your husband? Yes. The bottom line is because God has built in us this eager desire to be joined, because one day we're going to be joined with him. And so the wedding day is going to be complete. And so this is not just about us when we talk about the rapture. We have to realize there's a much larger thing going on with the Father and his Son and the prearranged wedding and the bride and the ceremony in the kingdom of God. Can you imagine what that ceremony is going to be like? Many of us have been to weddings down here, and probably all of us have, and we've seen the wedding, and depending on how much money the dad has, you know, or wants to put into it, how fancy the wedding is. You know, I've got a lot of praying to do because I got four of these to go through. And I don't know that I'll ever have the money that I've seen some men have to pay for their daughters to be married, but I've seen some rather elaborate weddings. I've been involved in a couple of weddings. I've performed a couple of weddings where the people involved were very wealthy. And to see the layout that they had there, you know, with all the food and all the decorations and all the pomp and circumstance almost that came with the wedding, it was amazing. And I'm thinking, listen, that is nothing compared to the day that Jesus Christ anticipates with you, his bride. Can you imagine suddenly the trumpet blast sounds? We're there in the kingdom of God. We see the glory of the Lord. There's this huge banquet table. The Bible says that'll be the time for the marriage feast of the Lamb, because the wedding is about to take place and everything will be in place. Everything will be in order. All the heavenly tables will be strewn out with all the cloths over them. All the great hors d'oeuvres. Can you imagine the Lord's hors d'oeuvres? I don't know what those will be like. I mean, you talk about finger food. It's going to be amazing. And the way we're going to be celebrating, we say, wow, this is something. And listen, those of us who know what's happening, we're going to be there going, yes. We know the Bible. We're about this. It's going to be joined to the Lord eternally. Those that don't know the Bible are going to be going, wow, this is a great place. Wonder what's about to happen. That's why we need to know the Word of God, so we don't look like country bumpkins when we get up there, right? And then what's going to happen? All of a sudden, we're going to realize, why is all this set up? You know why it's set up? Because of you right now in these seats. That's why it's set up. Everything's being made ready right now. And when the Father throws a party for his Son, it's going to be unbelievable. And guys, the exciting thing to me is we talk about, yes, we're waiting for the rapture. Think about Jesus. How long were you waiting for your wedding day? What did you feel like as it approached? Jesus has been waiting all eternity, and he's still waiting. And the Bible says he's going to eagerly grab us when it's his time. I love it. And I understand it because I think God puts in our heart a little bit of the emotion that he's feeling as well, as we are his creation made in his image. So again, as we get into this, we're going to talk about all this, and we're going to take a couple of weeks to really dig the rapture apart. We're going to do several things. I'm going to read to you the list of things we're going to cover, a list of questions. And here's the things we're going to be covering. Number one, what is the rapture? Number two, what is the purpose of the rapture? Number three, is the rapture different than the second coming? Number four, is the rapture a new teaching? Number five, what is the biblical support for the rapture? Number six, what are the different views of the rapture? And number seven, how can we know that we have the right view? Today, we'll cover the first three. What is the rapture? What is its purpose? And is it different than the second coming? Again, what is the rapture? Now, we've already pretty much answered this in foundation as an event in the intro. But to simply restate it, it is the removal of the church or the Lord's bride from the earth to be joined with him in a spiritual marriage in heaven. Note that. My definition stops short of that without really understanding what it was about. And that is, it's not just the removal of the church from the earth so that we're going to be out of here when all this stuff happens in the last days. That's great. I'm glad about that. But guys, it's also that the Lord can bring his bride to himself, that he can have this celebration. According to the Webster's Dictionary, the word rapture means this: a state or experience of being carried away by overwhelming emotion. That's what the Lord's going to feel for us. I love it. And although this is the word we refer to as gathering the church to Jesus, its literal meaning perfectly describes what the Lord's going to be experiencing emotionally on that day. When he finally gets to take us to be with him, he will be in a state or experience of being carried away by an overwhelming emotion. Now, as we talk about what the rapture is, we know that we're going to be taken off the earth. There's going to be several reasons we're going to see. When we get into part two, the purpose, we'll talk about the reasons. But the rapture itself, we're taken off the earth to be joined together with our spiritual husband, the Lord, as his bride. But with that definition in place, there are some basic questions that need to be answered in relation to the rapture of the church. And the first one is this, and you've probably heard it. Some people deny the rapture, and they say the word rapture is not even in the Bible, and therefore, since the word rapture is not in the Bible, there is no rapture. And guys, although the teaching and concept is way more important than the actual word used, I believe the issue still needs to be answered. You see, the issue is not, is the word in the Bible? The issue is, does the Bible teach the rapture? And is the concept of the rapture in the Bible? And yet, because there's that kind of question there, I want you to know the answer historically. Why does the church refer to it as the rapture when you look in your Bible and can't find the word rapture? It's very easy to explain. Because really, if you want to know if the word rapture is in the Bible, it depends on what translation you have. If you're holding a Latin Bible today, which I doubt very seriously, you'll find the word rapturo in there in this passage. That is where we get the word rapture. The word literally there, caught up, is the word harpazo. And it's a word that means to snatch away or to grab or to eagerly take. The word eager is in there and jumps out to me because it's that whole picture of the Lord grabbing his bride. It's like, baby, you're mine type thing, might be the way we'd say it. And so the whole picture is he's grabbing us, he's seizing us, he's taking us to himself. It's the word harpazo there in the Greek. But again, in Latin, they translated it into the word rapturo because of rapture. The Lord will be enraptured with us. The Lord will be enthralled with us. He'll be overwhelmed with us. It was simply a translation that was done in the Latin, and the church grabbed onto it and started using that to describe when the Lord is going to be coming for his church. So don't let the fact that the word rapture is not in the Bible confuse you. Again, the meaning is clearly there. The teaching is clearly there. The concept is clearly there. As a matter of fact, if you're going to be a stickler about what words are in the Bible or what words are not in the Bible and whether or not the Bible teaches it, then you've got a real problem when it comes to the word Trinity. Because the Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. That is the word Trinity. But is the concept of the Trinity taught all through the Bible? Absolutely. So we don't throw out a teaching or a concept of the Word of God simply because the Word is not in the Bible. That's bad theology, that's bad exposition, and it's just the wrong way to look at the Scripture. So obviously the rapture is in the Bible. Again, we said the word here is the word harpazo. Let me read it to you, but I've told you what it means. To snatch out or away, or to seize or claim for oneself eagerly. I love it. Again, get the picture of the wedding day. This is the Lord's wedding day. He's been waiting for all eternity. And the Father says, now you can have your bride. He's probably like, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to be patient. When can I have her, you know, Lord? And boom, you can have your bride. He's going to come. And guys, there's not going to be any delay. We're going to be with the Lord. And what I love the most about the word that the Lord chose to describe his coming for his church here is that it gives a picture of excitement and anxiousness. And why do I like this? Because again, as a husband and as one who got married at one point, and those of you that have been married, I know those feelings. See, I can associate with what Jesus is talking about here in chapter 4, verse 17. I can associate. He's ready. He's excited. All the details have been done. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't get into making all the plans because number one, it wasn't as interesting to me. And number two, I couldn't do it. I didn't know how to organize all that stuff. It's just not what a guy does. Now, some of you guys can do that. Maybe you did. But typically for the wedding, who puts it all together? The wife, her mother, all those that help them, they put it together. And it's a special moment that they prepare for a long time. Most little girls are planning for their wedding, at least mentally, their entire life. Ever since they're little, they've been doing this. The guys aren't. We're just kind of yoda, 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 walking, living life, you know. And all of a sudden, one day we wake up and go, hey, girls aren't yucky, you know, and it kind of happens. And all of a sudden, we get attracted to girls. And next thing you know, God brings one into our life. And the girls got this whole romance thing. And it takes us a long time to catch up. But be patient with us, ladies. The Lord doesn't need to catch up. He's there. He's the world's greatest romancer. The world's greatest one just to love us and take us in his arms. He's been planning this thing for eternity. The Father is getting ready. You can almost hear the clinking of the dishes in heaven as the angels just, you know, scamper around excitedly. When's it going to be? I don't know. Get everything ready. Are the tables? Yes. Make sure the curtains are done. Oh, it's got to be beautiful. Get the pillars. Now, again, I'm putting it in earthly images so we can get an idea. But the Lord is preparing for his wedding. And I see him up there at the right hand of the Father just wondering, when do I get her? When do I get her? When do I get her? You know, and he knows. I believe he knows that now. And the Father knows, and there's going to come a time he's going to pull the trigger and say, go, and we're going to be joined with him in the air. So this is not just about us. This is an exciting day for the Lord. That's what the rapture is. So that's the first thing I wanted to look at. The second thing today, as we shift gears, is now what is the purpose of the rapture? In other words, why would God take us out of here early before he comes to rule and reign? Once again, I believe the answer is multifold. For the purposes and the reasons, but I'll mention them to you right now in order, then we're going to look at them. First of all, so Jesus could have his bride. Secondly, to create a sense of alertness and urgency in our lives as we're watching for this coming of the Lord. Thirdly, to de-emphasize our desire for the things of this world so that we can be more focused on the things of the Spirit. Fourthly, to give us a continued hope in this fallen world and sorrowful world. Fifthly, to drive us to holiness. And lastly, to protect us from the future judgment of wrath that's going to be coming upon the entire earth. Now, we've talked about Jesus desiring his bride, and we've talked about watching. Last week, we looked at the fact that we're to be watching. So those are the first two. We've covered those. But the next one in line that we want to look at is, why does the Lord tell us about the rapture? It's so that we will not be too connected to the things of this world. I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of things down here I really like. A great steak, you know, and I hate to even use the words, but yes, we're going to have to as Christians, the sinful Sunday at Outback. It's one of the best desserts I've ever had. They take the big, you know, I think it's a big ball of Haagen-Dazs. They roll it in like this coconut that's baked, and then they take this homemade chocolate, this dark chocolate, homemade, pour it all over the top of it, take whipped cream, homemade whipped cream, put it on top, strawberries all around. How many are ready to go right now? Hand goes up. I knew that. I knew it. I knew it. I love that. I love certain events. There's things I like to do. There's different seasons in my life. I used to love to golf, and I'll go through different phases of things I love to do. But here's the bottom line. There are lots of fun things to do in here. But guys, they're not the ultimate goal, are they? The Bible says God has given us all things richly to enjoy, and I enjoy them. You should enjoy them as well. But it's Jesus Christ that we're to be focused on. And here's one of the things that the rapture does. As long as the rapture keeps us guessing when the Lord's going to come back, we need to be ready. And as long as we understand that, we're going to make sure that we are ready, because you never know when the Lord's going to come back. You need to be prepared. Now, I've found that with my girls, in order to prepare them, if they're like doing something, maybe playing a Wii game or whatever the case might be, and we're about to go somewhere, I know what they're going to say. If I wait till it's time to walk out the door, no, wait, let us get to the next level, or let us do this or whatever, right? And like, no, we got to go now. Then they're upset, and then we're upset, and it's holding. So what I do is I show up and I tell them early. I say, girls, here in just a little bit, I'm going to come for you. I want you to be ready. We're going to be loading up here in just a minute. Y'all get ready. Because I know they're playing the game, and I don't want the, aw, Dad, and I don't want the fight, right? So I tell them in advance. And then when I tell them that way, they're still a little bit like, you know, wanting to, maybe they're in the middle of their game. But they understand it, and they run down, they jump in the van. Guys, I believe this is one of the reasons God has told us about the rapture as his kids. God could have completely surprised us and said, hey, it's time to go. But you know what the Lord did? He said, hey, I'm coming. You don't know when, but get ready so that when I come, you'll be ready to go. And don't be too attached to your Wii game. So that when I say it's time to go, you're like, oh, Lord, I'm on level 3. I was hoping for level 4. Lord, please, please, level 4 is when I get a wife. And then, Lord, level 5, I have kids of my own. Lord, level 6, I'm a grandpa. You know, and so I don't want to talk about level 7 yet, but the bottom line is, Lord, I'm not at that level yet. And guys, I think that's natural, isn't it? I remember those feelings. Lord, I just want to be married first. Lord, I want to have a child for Lord, all this. But as you get older, you realize, you know what? Yes, all that is wonderful, and what a blessing of the Lord it is. But guys, we need to be ready any moment. Whatever level we're at, we need to be ready. And the Lord has kept us guessing by not telling us when he's coming back for sure, so that we'll be ready. I believe this is one of the purposes of letting us know, so that we don't get too attached to our Wii game or whatever it is we're attached to down here. And I use that as just an example. What is another purpose for the rapture? Another purpose, guys, is to give us hope in this fallen world. How many times have you lost hope? How many times have you looked in the eyes of someone who has lost hope? I see that on a regular basis as a pastor. People that have lost hope. Maybe they just found out, you know, some bad news about something. They've had a family member die or whatever the case might be. They found out they're going to die, whatever the case might be. And there's, listen, without the hope of the rapture, without the hope of Jesus Christ afterwards and something beyond this, it could get into a place of despair, could it not? But the Lord gives us hope. And guys, this is the exciting thing. Listen, we don't know when the rapture is going to take place. So depending on when we leave these bodies, listen, it could be any minute. Some of you in here right now are older than others. And you might think, I've only got a short amount of time left. Or maybe whatever the situation is as far as your life goes. But you know what? That doesn't mean that I'm not going to die before you. I mean, just pulling out an Alcoa highway doesn't guarantee as much, does it? I remember meeting with somebody a while back and hearing the news that they were going to die soon. And I remember talking to him and you know, saying, you know what? I know the doctors say that. We'll leave that up to the Lord, whether or not that's going to happen. And it's in God's timing. And he said to me, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. You know, it's not like a death wish, but I'm ready. I know that I know him. And I said, you know what? I said, well, the thing is, if I beat you there, I'll be waiting on you. I'll never forget the look in his eye because he was only given a few weeks to live. And I said, you know what? I'm about to get in the car and drive home. I may not make it, but you know, I'll be waiting on you. When you get there in a few weeks, I'll be there waiting on you. And it gave him the perspective that we all need to have, and that is simply this. Guys, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what anyone says, what the doctors say, or what our bodies say, or what age says. We're going to go to the Lord when God says we're ready to go and be with the Lord. The question is, are we ready to go now? And we need to make sure that we're ready to go. We need to have that hope to say, I have that hope. No matter what happens to this body, you know, when you get older, things break, and you realize, I can't go back and fix that. My eyes now, and I need glasses. You're going to see me show up here one Sunday pretty soon. Everybody's going to be talking about Pastor Mark has glasses. I should have them today. I already stumble over the words when I'm trying to read the Bible. Even my own notes, I've got this like an 18-point font. It's like ridiculous. I do. I really do. But I'm kind of in denial right now. But the bottom line is I'm going to have to make the jump. And I look goofy in glasses. I won't go on the whole thing. The bottom line is you're going to see it one day, so get ready. But I realize I can't go back and get more eyes. Okay, maybe I can go and get some LASIK and hold this thing off for a while. But these things are eventually going to stop. My ears, you know, I don't hear like I used to hear. To me, it sounds like everything sounds normal because it's happened so gradually, but I can tell because of other things. I'm not hearing as good. This body is wearing out. And so I have hope to say, you know what? Even if this body gets rickety and gets old, you know, depending on how long the Lord takes to come back, here's what I know. I'm going to get a brand new model. Isn't that great? I remember speaking just recently to someone else that was very old and getting close to death. And I remember just saying to him, aren't you glad there's a new body waiting for those in Christ? And the answer is obviously, yes, there's a brand new body waiting in Christ. In other words, no matter how bad it gets, no, I can't, you know, make the layup like I used to. I can go out there and pull a muscle thinking I can. I remember we had a football game here a while back on one of these a couple years ago. It's probably 4 or 5 years now. I don't know how long it's been. But, you know, I used to be kind of quick. I never was a good athlete, but I used to be kind of quick. And so if people didn't know I was quick, I could trick them, like pick the ball off or get gone. They wouldn't know. Like, how did I know you could do that? Then it would never happen again because they were ready. So I thought I'm at her one day. We're playing a little football. Hey, Pastor Mark, play. I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to do it, you know. So I do it. And I, you know, boom, pick it off, run it all the way back, whatever, like that. I had surgery, like, in 2 weeks after that. I tore cartilage in my neck. I realized, that's your past, Mark. It's your past. And after that run, I was done for the day anyway. But the bottom line is, you think you can still do that. Guys, you know what, though? I don't despair that this body's wearing out because I know I'm getting a brand new one. You see the hope that the rapture gives and the coming of the Lord and it's all going to start over? There's hope in that. So another purpose for the rapture. What's another purpose for the rapture I want to mention? Another purpose is to drive us to holiness. Guys, if you know that the Lord could come back at any moment, you're going to be concerned about what you're doing. If mom and dad leave the house and they say, all right, kids, we're going to be gone for a little while. We'll be back at 7. That's the best news they could ever hear. Because at 6:50, it's like, clean up, hurry, put this, come on, we get ready, right? But if we say, we'll be back just at any moment, they better be ready when we come back. Because they're going to know they're going to get in trouble if they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing, or if the house isn't cleaned up, or whatever the case might be. So the bottom line is, the Lord, I believe the reason the rapture is there is to make us ready. It drives us to holiness. We're saying, all right, I'm going to live holy. I know that God could get me at any moment, so I don't need to be doing that. I don't need to be watching that. I don't need to be reading that. I don't need to be hanging out there. I need to be holy with the Lord because he could come back at any moment, and I want to be prepared. That's another reason the Lord does it. But the last reason here under the purposes section here of the rapture is to keep us from the wrath of God. And aren't you glad that we're going to be kept from the wrath of God? Now, guys, note this, because there's another question that needs to be answered about those who try to deny the rapture or whatever the case might be. There are different sources of wrath in the Bible. There's man, there's Satan, and there's God, as far as those that can bring wrath. And we as Christians have faced the wrath of Satan and man throughout history. The church has faced the wrath of Satan and man throughout history, and they've done their best to destroy us. But the Bible says the gates of hell won't prevail against us. So they can't destroy us. But here's what we have never faced as a church, and here's what we will never face as a church, and that is the wrath of God. You will face the wrath of Satan. You will face the wrath of man. You will face persecution and tribulation, but you will never face the wrath of God. How do I know that? 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says this, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've not been appointed to wrath. Romans 5:9 says this, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we're saved from wrath. Now, how does the rapture play in relation to the church in this? Because the Bible tells us in Revelation, right before Jesus comes back, God is going to be pouring out what on this earth? He's going to be pouring out his wrath. And guys, if we're here, guess who's going to be under the wrath of God? The believer. And yet the Bible says we've not been appointed to wrath. We've been delivered from wrath, and then we'll never experience God's wrath. And note this, when God pours out those bowls on the earth, he doesn't pour out the bowls everywhere except on Knoxville. He's going to be pouring out the bowls on the entire earth. The judgments are going to be from one end of heaven to the other. The only ones the Bible says that God will supernaturally protect during that time are the Jews that flee down to Petra. And God will be covering them and guarding them. But the rest of the world will be experiencing the outpouring of the wrath of Almighty God. From hailstones as large as 75 to 100 pounds to asteroids or meteors striking the earth, it says. Polluting the oceans, polluting the streams, destroying this planet as we know it. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. There is no way that I believe that the Lord is going to leave his bride here, and I believe the Bible says that he won't when that happens, because we've not been appointed to the wrath of God. And again, I hear the argument, but Pastor Mark, hadn't the church suffered persecution throughout history? What makes you think we would be different? I'm not saying the church didn't suffer persecution. I'm not saying that we couldn't suffer persecution. I'm not saying we might not suffer the wrath of Satan and the wrath of man before God comes back. Here's what I'm saying. I know based on the word of God, I will never suffer the wrath of God. And that's what's going to be happening during the great tribulation in the final days on this planet. And that's why I believe the Lord is going to be taking us out of here. So we've seen what the rapture is. We've seen the purpose of the rapture. The last thing I want to look at today is this question. Is the rapture different than the second coming? Now, we've covered this a little bit last week. But first of all, we need to remember from last week that we pointed out that Jesus stressed how important it was that we be constantly watching for his return over and over through the scriptures. And we'll get to more of that next week. He says, be watching, watch, watch, be ready, watch. Why would the Lord say that if there was no rapture? Because guys, if there's no rapture, there's nothing to be watching for. Note that. And why do I say that? Because as we talked about last week, in the book of Daniel and Revelation, it tells us that when the Antichrist signs that peace treaty with the nation of Israel in the last days, that the clock will start and it will be exactly 2,520 days until the second coming. Now, if we know the exact day of the second coming, then there wouldn't be anything to watch for, would there? If there's no rapture, then we're all ready. We know what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of events that happen between the time he signs that treaty and the time that Jesus Christ comes back. One of them will be that this world leader will take, you know, the rulership of the earth. We refer to him as the Antichrist. And the Bible says he will be ruling and reigning. See, here's the problem that comes in. We would be able to tell the specific day. We would know when the Lord is coming back. And yet Jesus said in Mark 13:32, But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. That means there has to be some different event besides the second coming where the Lord is going to surprise us. Guys, if you know the book of Revelation, there are going to be no surprises those final 7 years. And literally, you could stand there and count down the final week till Jesus Christ comes back and rules and reigns on his throne. 2,520 days. We're at 2,515. We're at 2,516. We're at 2,517. We could count out. We could be on the news saying, tomorrow, Jesus Christ will come back. And guess what? We would be right, and it would be backed up by the authority of Scripture. Then what does he mean when he says no one will know the day or the hour? It's because there's a different event Jesus is talking about than the second coming, and he's talking about the rapture of the church, where it's a surprise, where suddenly the Lord's going to show up, and none of us are going to know when it's going to happen. One of the problems I have with not believing in the rapture or believing the teaching of the rapture and the Word of God is, guess what? Listen, guys, if there's no rapture, who am I looking for right now? I'm looking for the Antichrist, and I'll tell you why. Because that tells me that clock has started for that final 7 years on the earth with Jesus Christ before he comes back. Listen, do you think the Lord wants us looking for the Antichrist or looking for Jesus Christ? Guys, we're to be looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. And therefore, the Lord has set it up in such a way that we're not going to know. So, number one, is it different than the second coming? It has to be, because we can predict the exact day of the second coming. All right, let's go on now to the next reason. What is that? Well, the next reason is, or the difference between the rapture and the second coming is, in the rapture, we go up to meet the Lord in the air, but in the second coming, we're already with him and we come down to the earth. Look at verse 16 and 17 there in 1 Thessalonians. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Notice at this time, whatever this event is, we go up to meet the Lord in the air. Again, the rapture of the church. However, in the second coming, as we said, we are already with him and we'll be coming down. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 14. But notice as it describes there in Revelation 19 about the second coming, notice what John says in his vision. Remember, in the rapture, we go up. It says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And note this, verse 14, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, who are these armies in heaven? Look at verse 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. It's you. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. What are they going to be wearing, the armies of the Lord? Fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And again, speaking of the second coming in Jude said this in Jude 1:14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. And so we see that we're going to be with the Lord when he comes back. The rapture, we go up to meet him. In the second coming, we're already with him, and we come back down. And so we see clearly a distinction between the two. Now, as we finish the first part of our study on the rapture today, let me just say this. My desire is not to prove a point or win an argument, because the bottom line is the rapture is not a salvation issue. The church should never divide over the teaching of the rapture, because it's not a salvation issue. We can say, all right, that's where you stand. Here's where we stand. And we're going to see next week the different positions, three different positions that different portions of the church take, and why I firmly stand in the pre-tribulation rapture. And I'll show you why based on Scripture. But the bottom line is, if I run across a brother or sister who don't believe that, they're my brother and my sister. I don't divide over that. So it's not an issue of that. It's not to win an argument. It's not to prove a point. Because whether you believe in the rapture or not, you're going to go and you're going to be with the Lord at some point. But here's the reason this is a passionate subject to me. It will affect everything in your Christian life from this point on, what you believe. It will affect your prophetic outlook. It will affect how you live your life right now. It will affect whether you live a life of expectancy and a life of holiness and a life of hope and a life that any moment the Lord can show up. It will affect the understanding of the celebration of the Lord's wedding day. We're invited. As a matter of fact, we're the bride. Everything will be affected depending on our viewpoint of the rapture. It affects hope, joy, excitement, everything. But again, the most important thing to me to think about is how it affects the Lord. How would you like it if your bride wasn't excited about you joining up at any moment? Or your husband or your wife? You know, Jesus gives a warning about this, guys. He said, it's the foolish servant who says, my master is delaying his coming and will not be watching when I return. The only ones that could delay or say the Lord is delaying his coming would be those who wouldn't believe that the rapture is happening first. Because if I don't believe he's coming, then I'm going to be saying what? The Lord is delaying his coming. And so, guys, it's all in here. But the most important thing to me about this, and this is really what God has been driving in my heart, and I don't know if I got this out of my heart into your heart. I don't know if I downloaded this as good as I did the first service. But that is this. The rapture is a special day, not only for us, but the rapture is an extremely special day for the Lord. He gets his bride. He gets you. And that's what the Lord has been waiting on. He has a special day set aside to surprise us, to grab us to be his own, and to take us back into his palace and to live with him forever. Guys, this is the greatest love story ever told. I know some people have used that title, but this is the one. This is the greatest love story ever told. Now, let me finish with this. Some of you, as somebody said to me one time, said, Mark, why are you so obsessed with the Lord's second coming? Why are you looking for the Lord so much? My question, first of all, would be, why aren't we all? But my next question would be this. Because somebody said to me one time, you don't know when the Lord's coming back. You don't know when he's coming back. So how can you say that? My answer is, you're right. I don't know when the Lord is coming back. But I do know this. If he doesn't come back for me, it's not going to be long until I go to him. These bodies are limited. As I said, it might be today. Today could be our day to stand before the Lord. And I'm not saying necessarily I'm wanting that to happen, but I know this. I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Because whether he comes back for us in our lifetime, you will be going to him very soon. So you need to be prepared and you need to be ready. If you're a believer, I know you're ready. And now you know a little bit more about the rapture. We're going to look more in detail about it next week. But the bottom line is, if you're here today or listening by radio or whatever the case might be, and you don't know the Lord, listen, what if the rapture happens today? You know what that means? You're going to be in that book called Left Behind. Because, guys, he's only going to take those who are currently his bride. The Bible says that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to be left behind. And all these things that we're going to be watching from heaven and escaping the wrath of God, you're going to be in the midst of it. Guys, it's not a place you want to be. I encourage you strongly today, if God is convicting your heart and you know that you don't know Jesus Christ, now's the time to give your life and give your heart to him. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Lord, how we rejoice that you are going to come and seize us, Lord. You're going to grab us out of here. You're going to come and, Lord, just take us to yourself. Truly, our knight in shining armor, our prince on a white horse. You're coming to take us. Lord, we want to be ready. And I pray that for those of us in here that already know you, that we would make sure that we're ready, that we would have that sense of urgency and watchfulness and holiness and all these things, knowing that at any moment you could return. We don't know when the time is, Lord, but we know that you're coming back for us. Make us ready. But Lord, I pray for any here this morning that don't know you. God, if there's anyone right now listening to this message that doesn't know you, and they've heard this, and now by your Spirit, you've pierced their heart, and you've let them know, you know what, I'm coming back, and I don't know when it's going to be, I'm coming back. We don't know when that's going to be, rather. Lord, I know you know. But Lord, they're convicted in their heart that they're not ready. If you were to come back now, they would be left behind. They would go through the great tribulation. They would miss everything that you've promised. The marriage feast of the Lamb, the wedding celebration day of Jesus Christ. What a thing to miss. God, let us not be in those that would miss such a glorious event in eternity. And so I pray if there's anyone right now in this room, right now, if you are convicted in your heart, you know you've not given your life to the Lord, then the Bible says Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. He paid the price for you, and he rose again the third day. And if you will simply believe in him, you can be saved. And I want you to pray this prayer if you've not done that. Lord, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died for me on the cross, and I believe that you rose again the third day, and I give my life to you. Lord, come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. And I thank you, Lord, that I am your bride. And I now look forward to that special day, your wedding day, even as you do. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. I love you. And I ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.